from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Halfway home with you on a Labor Day Monday. Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock this evening. Our buddy Garrett Chapman will come your way then. I'm also hosting tomorrow night from 7 to 10 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Garrett is going to join me to talk, how about this, a little 2-0 Georgia Tech football. That's going to be exciting. But right now, you know what time it is. On Dukes and Bell, we say it's time to talk some dogs with our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Connor, let me start here with this. A couple of key injury updates Kirby provided this afternoon. What is the latest? What do we know about two of the stars for the Dogs?
Yeah, the big thing out of today, Mikel Williams dealing with a grade 2 ankle sprain. Tried to come back in and play on Saturday. The score, I think, dictated him not necessarily doing that. Georgia's going to be cautious with him. Kirby said today it's not going to be a long-term type injury. He's questionable for this week against Tennessee Tech. Given the opponent, I wouldn't be stunned if we don't see Mikel this weekend. They go to Kentucky next week. I imagine he travels and dresses for that game, and they maybe have a few package plays for him if he continues to heal the right way. The most important thing with Mikel at this point, though, is making sure that he is good to go for that Alabama game at the end of the month, because we saw against Clemson, when he's on the field, he's a difference maker, and Georgia needs players like that against Alabama. They should have more than enough to beat Tennessee Tech this week, and that the same probably goes for True when they go and visit Kentucky next week.
Before we actually start to break down what happened on the field at Mercedes-Benz, Connor, what did you make of Kirby's sort of curt, snide reaction when he was asked by Chip Towers of the AJC about Trevor Etienne's status, rather, for the game?
Yeah, I mean, Kirby wants to be Kirby about this. He wants to play it close to the vest and not let people know. I think Chip did the right job by asking that question. It's a question that needs to be asked. Kirby has, I think, made this a bigger deal by dragging it out and by keeping it in-house. Thus, the question has to keep being asked. On the ESPN broadcast, they said that Trevor Etienne was suspended due to a university policy, and ESPN's Molly McGrath reported during the telecast as well that Kirby was not forthcoming in terms of, was this going to be a one-game suspension, or is this something where Trevor may not play this week? So the question still lingers there, even though Kirby's made it very clear that he's just not going to talk about it publicly.
What did you make of Carson Beck's performance, as he really had a tale of two halves, as did the entire offense? We'll get to that in just a second. He actually admitted to maybe a little bit of jitterbugs going on in that first half, but he rebounded really nicely.
Yeah, a lot of nerves, a lot of juice going into that game. I think he's put a lot on his shoulders going into this year, knowing that SDU go out and have a big year. And so, you know, missed on a couple throws, not egregiously or anything like that. But, I thought he got better as the game went on. And you see that. You see, especially in the second half, the throws he was making on third down. Didn't have a ton of help in the first half because Georgia couldn't run the ball at all because of the depth at the running back position with where it is right now. But, again, I think you saw everything you needed to from Carson on Saturday. When he needed to be, he was the best player on the field for either side of the football. And you're going to need to see that a lot for Georgia this year as they go play at Alabama, at Texas, at Ole Miss over the course of the football season.
You mentioned the running back room. I don't know exactly what happened or didn't happen. What were you able to glean from what Branson Robinson wasn't able to do and what Nate Frazier was able to do?
Yeah, this was Branson Robinson's first game since January of 2023. He's a year removed from a patella tendon injury, and that's just a very significant injury to come back from, whereas Nate Frazier, when we saw him out of practice earlier this fall, you can just tell he has a different burst to him, a different speed that he can get up to. And I thought you saw that on Saturday, almost immediately getting quicker to the hole. But then even later in the game, you know, he had the big reception at the start of the third quarter. You see him with the big cutback later on. He got better and I think more comfortable as the game went on. And so to have a player like that emerge in your first game, where I think there was a solid expectation of what he'd bring to the table coming into the season, but to get that performance out of him against a stout defense like Clemson, where he goes out and makes a difference, I think it's very, very encouraging for Georgia moving forward, especially eventually when they do get Trevor Etienne back. You do have two sort of different explosive running backs who are going to be able to make plays for you.
Talking all things dogs with our buddy Connor Riley. Follow him on socials at KConnorRiley and check him out at dognation.com. All right, when it comes to the defense, I mean, Connor, what more could you say? I know there were some question marks, particularly maybe about the defensive front coming into this game, but you allow less than 200 yards of total offense, less than 50 yards of total on the ground. You were able to take Maffa essentially out of the game for Clemson. Cade Klubnik had a really clunky afternoon. Just what were your biggest takeaways from the defense?
It became pretty clear about midway through the second quarter that Clemson's just not going to be able to do anything against this Georgia team. Yes, they did hit on a few big plays early, but they weren't doing it consistently enough. And this Georgia defense is so fast in the middle of the field that you're just not going to be able to play side to sideline against them. I thought the inside linebackers were outstanding in this game, made a huge difference. Raylan Wilson looked really, really improved in his second year there. Obviously, Malachi starts playing all over the field, making the interception. You expect him to make plays like that, as ridiculous as they are. Jalen Walker showing why he's maybe Georgia's best front seven defender, and while he doesn't have necessarily a set position right now, you just have to find a way to get him on the field and he's going to make an impact. I thought it was pretty evident early on that Clemson just did not have the same level of athleticism as that Georgia defense does, and Georgia's going to do that to a lot of offenses this year. I think if there's a way that you're going to have to try and beat this Georgia defense, you're going to have to try and beat them vertically, because there's just too much speed side to side, and as this defensive line gets healthier and they develop some of the younger players, it's only going to get more difficult to try and run against them.
As Dabo and Clemson look to rebound after this game, do you attribute it more to a talent gap issue or a coaching issue?
Probably a talent gap issue, and I know a lot of people want to blame Dabo not bringing in players via the transfer portal as to why that program has slipped off. There's no player that they could have gone out and gotten in the transfer portal that would have fixed the issues that they had against Georgia. Georgia recruits at a top three level every year. Clemson in the last couple of cycles has recruited closer to a top 15 level. And so that gap, no matter who you go out and get from the transfer portal class, they could have brought in the same number of transfers that Ole Miss brought in, and it wouldn't have made a difference on Saturday. But I think to where Clemson is, like, Georgia is so clearly now in a different weight class than Clemson is. And that's the most frustrating thing. Clemson can still very well go on to have a good season, make improvements, maybe even get into the college football playoff. But Saturday so clearly showed that they're just in a different weight class than Georgia right now, and that's where Clemson used to exist 5 years ago.
When it comes to the offensive talent, obviously we saw Carson Beck. We talked about him earlier. But who do you see as the guys that are going to emerge over the course of the season? We mentioned a Nate Frazier. There's a couple of guys that stood out that may not have been on your radar to start the season, but Connor, there was a couple of guys in this one that sort of had a little bit of a coming out party.
Yeah, Georgia, I think, made it a point early to get Arian Smith involved, and especially as a wide receiver in a way they haven't in the past. You know, he's traditionally thought of as been a guy who's just going to go run deep and maybe catch a football for you. They moved him around a lot. They got him the ball in a different way than they have in the past, and I think that's very encouraging for the development for him. Dylan Bell only had 59 total yards in that game, but he very easily could have had over 100, breaks one or two more tackles there, maybe has a score or two. He cramped up in the second half of that game. He's expected to be fine and good to go. The fact that we got to talk to him after the game is an encouraging sign for him moving forward. And then London Humphreys coming in, you know, after Dylan Bell steps out, has two big catches on third down that I think really transformed that game and helped make it into the blowout that it did. You see big production from those three guys, all of them making impact plays. They're only going to get better as they continue to take more reps with Carson Beck and they develop better chemistry over the course of the coming season.
Did you glean anything from Alabama's victory that could maybe benefit or even hurt the Dogs in terms of what we're going to see in just a couple of weeks as those two teams ramp up?
No, Georgia is significantly better than Western Kentucky. That's what Alabama should do against a team like that. Teams like Texas, Alabama, Furman, and Georgia, look, Georgia's going to do that this week. I don't take anything you know, in terms of long-term trends from week one. You learn a lot about teams and who they are by the growth that they show from game one to game two. So, you know, credit to Alabama for going out there and doing what you're supposed to do against Western Kentucky. But there was nothing that Alabama could have done on Saturday that was going to change my mind about what they might be able to do going into that game against Georgia at the end of the month.
Whipping around the SEC as we're wrapping up with our buddy Connor Riley. Make sure you check out his work at Dog Nation. How much did the loss to USC hurt LSU's chances in the SEC?
I think it's going to be tough for them to make the playoff, but it's not impossible. You know, yes, they do have a tough SEC slate, but they just lost the game in a very like week one kind of fashion. It wasn't, I think, anything like systemic and long-term issues. They played at USC pretty even. USC made a play or two late that LSU didn't, and that was the difference in the game. They were hanging with USC. They were leading for a good chunk of that game. I know Brian Kelly's upset and frustrated, and you know, people can clown him today, but I think that's a game that they kind of just gave away. And so my long-term view of LSU doesn't change. I didn't have them as a playoff team to start the season, but I could certainly see them playing their way into that. It becomes a little bit harder to play your way into that now when you lose a game like that at the beginning of the season, knowing that you might have one, maybe two SEC losses. But if you're able to get the right amount of wins with the schedule that they have, they could very well be a factor there for making the playoff at the end of the season. And I liked what I saw to Garrett Nussmeier. They have some nice skill position talent. And I really like USC's offense this year. So I thought the defense for it to play as well as it did for the most part, I think that's an encouraging step in the right direction for a staff that was in its first game as a defensive staff.
I know we just talked about how you can't glean much of anything when you're facing, you know, less than, you know, the Chattanoogas of the world in the case of Tennessee and Furman, as you just described, for Ole Miss. But just as an overall thought, Connor, the SEC and the quarterbacks, I mean, this is as deep as I can remember the conference being with some of the guys out there.
It's improved. It's young. You've got Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma, a guy I know Georgia really liked a lot. You know, Nico, we'll see what he does when he starts to face better competition there. It's a lot of promising talent. It's a lot of proven talent as well. Jackson Dart, his third year as a quarterback for Ole Miss. Quinn Ewers, same at Texas. And this is sort of the year of the quarterback for the SEC, and Georgia maybe represents that better than anyone with Carson Beck, his fifth year in the program, second year as a starter, and a guy a lot of people see as someone who can be the best quarterback in all of college football.
All right, Connor, appreciate the time. As always, make sure you give him a follow at K Connor Riley and check him out at Dog Nation. Connor, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Connor Riley there. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. When we get back, let's get producer E in the mix. He's been a little quiet this afternoon, not because we want him to be quiet. He's always welcome to open up that mic on my show because we are the weekend warriors on Saturdays here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But we had Joe Patrick in studio. We had Caleb Johnson, Connor Riley. Let's let E in the mix here when we get back. We'll get five Falcons true or false questions as week one approaches on Sunday. You don't want to miss that. More insight and info to your team leading into week one on your home of the Atlanta Falcons, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our way through a Labor Day Monday. Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock this evening. Garrett Chapman comes your way then. I am hanging out in the Kia Studios with our buddy E. Eric Slaughter. This hour, once again, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. E, you know, it's funny. Usually when you're full-time employee, there are certain days that are, like, you know, checked off that you get off for a company holiday. So I have no issues coming in today because I love being on the air with all of y'all on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But it did make me think, if you could be anywhere that's not in this studio with me right now, what is your ideal Labor Day celebration?
Mine, myself?
Yes.
So I would love to be on a Florida beach that has a casino within 10 minutes of it.
Good answer.
Beach during the day, poker by night.
What's your game of choice?
Poker and blackjack.
Okay. All right.
And I'm not bad at either.
You're slick with it a little bit?
Yeah, I am, brother. Okay. I'm pretty good.
Right. So. We got to get you on one of those world tour shows that air at like 3 in the morning on like Bally's.
Hey, man, I'm down for it. So I was a dealer for many years. That's how I learned the game.
Really?
And after being a dealer, you know, you can learn the odds and the projections and things like that. So, yeah.
So do you know how to count cards?
I don't necessarily know how to count cards, but you learn the rhythm of the shoe. And, I mean, it's not real hard. When the shoe is cold, you lower your bets. When the shoe is hot, you press and you go for it.
And the shoe, for those out there listening, is sort of the way that the cards are
coming out
for the dealer.
Four-deck shoe, six-deck shoe, whatever it is. Every shoe has a sweet spot. You can kind of gauge when that sweet spot's coming, and when it's there, you go for it.
I didn't know that about you. That's impressive. You see, you learned something.
Down my way through college.
There you go. You learned something new about your producer that's with me every Saturday, every single time we work together. And I'm going to learn something new here because he's got five true and false questions for me right now.
It's time for five true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, it's been a minute since we did a little true or false, and I'm really looking forward to next hour when we did a little stock up, stock down. So let's get this thing going. So everybody's excited, man. 6 days away from Falcons football, 3 days away from the kickoff of the regular season. I'm looking forward to the Friday night game. The teams going all the way to Brazil to play football, just ready to go. All right, so this first one on Falcons true or false, I'm actually looking forward to your opinion on this because I'll be honest – I kind of thought I never hate on somebody getting their bag, but I kind of thought maybe we did a little too much. So true or false, AJ Terrell's new payday was comparable to the play he's had on the field.
Oh, I mean, unfortunately, you got to say false, right?
Yeah, you do. You do. Because I ain't mad at him, but yeah, I agree with you.
He hasn't had a pick in 2 years, right? Which is kind of a hallmark marquee of good cornerback play, but he's been in some tough positions, hasn't had elite guys on the other side of him, and quite frankly, excuse me, still doesn't. But here's the problem, right? You can't not sign him, right? And he wasn't going to take less than market value, you would assume, right? Here's the ultimate question. Would somebody else, another team, have given him the same amount that the Falcons did?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I would have gave him a contract that did not disrespect him, but did not make him the highest paid defensive back in the league. He has not performed like the highest paid defensive back in the league.
No, he's the highest paid defensive backs make like 20, 21 a year. He's a notch below that.
He got the most guaranteed ever of a cornerback, right?
Yeah, he's not making the most AAV.
That's enough. Yeah. Still, the statement that, the statement they made is, we view you as a top two or three cornerback in this league, and here's your money.
I believe Jair Alexander is the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. It's either him or Denzel Ward. I believe it's one of those two. And quite frankly, he's just not at
them.
That level.
Them. Yeah. He's not them.
He's very good.
AJ, I'm glad you got your money. I saw you in high school. I saw your little brother in high school. I'm glad you got your money.
His little brother's playing for Clemson now, right?
Yeah, his little brother. They both played at Westlake. We cover him, high school school board show. Both at Clemson. Undoubtedly, he didn't really play. He's a true freshman. He didn't play against UGA, but he's got a bright future in front of him.
All right, yeah. Unfortunately, I got to agree with you, man. Yeah, hopefully he is this year worth every penny. We shall see.
All right, keep it going. Falcons, true or false, as we are getting close to game one. True or false? The Falcons have an issue at place kicker.
False. Let me see it in the regular season first. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? Because he has, like, what, the highest or second highest career field goal percentage ever, right? It's something like that.
I'll fact check that for you, sir.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Behind Justin Tucker?
Yeah, it's like he's right up there. Okay. Yeah. Just Google highest percentage place kickers of all time, and you can fact check me on that. But he's right there. So I got to see him stumble in the regular season for a significant amount of time. Coach Ra has came out and publicly backed him. And so I think they're going to ride with him for a while. Because, here's the question. Who are you bringing in? Right,
open tryouts. I mean,
I think Randy Bullock's out there. Is that the road you want to go?
Is Rodrigo out there? Yeah, Rodrigo
Blankenship. Yeah, I mean, is that really? Because I looked at the list of kickers that were available like a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, not really. Hall of Fame caliber talent out there.
None of the Gramatica brothers.
No, they're not out there. Sebastian Janikowski's not out there. Morton Anderson's not out there. Those guys aren't walking through that door.
You took the words out of my mouth. All right, man. Come on, Mr. Georgia Southern. I know you're upset that your team got beat down, but I need you to have a real good kicking year for the Falcons. All right. Roll along. Falcons true or false as we get ready for week one, Falcons Steelers.
Real quick, Young Wei Koo is fourth all-time with 88.5%.
Not quite that number two.
It's Justin Tucker, Harrison Bucker, Eddie Pinheiro, and then Young Wei Koo.
Eddie Pinheiro. Don't he play for the Saints or somewhere?
He played for the Bears a long time. I don't know if he's still in the – I don't think he's still kicking. Wow. He only was 53 games, so I guess it's a small sample size.
Mm. All right. Okay. Still, top four of all time. I guess we got to be just, those struggles we saw in the preseason. I hope that was him not really concentrating.
Patience, young Padawan. Patience.
Thank you. All right. Next on the Falcons, true or false? True or false, the Falcons did enough after the injuries to upgrade the wide receiver core.
Yeah, this is interesting, something we were talking about with Joe Patrick as well. Now, is the question, do they have enough, essentially? Do they have enough in the room to make it work this year? Is that the gist of the question?
No, my question is, should they have really gone out and got somebody? After you lose one of your major offseason signees,
who you thought
was going to be your
Rondale
major
Moore is – he's not,
But they had him penciled in for 50, 60 catches, I'm sure.
I'm going to say they're fine.
Because you got your two ones. You got Darnell Mooney, who you brought in to be your true number two. You got Drake London, who you know is number one. Kyle is a hybrid guy. But after that, and even though I love Kadarius Hyde, shout out to my HBCU guys, we may be missing.
No, it's a little thin. But let me ask you this. Would you rather have Simmons and Judon, or would you rather have another wide receiver? Because you can't have all of it. Because the cap... They had to maneuver with the cap already with Lindstrom to get it to where it was.
We needed Judon, okay? Simmons was an injury. We had to go do it, okay? Same thing with – we had two injuries. We had one in the defensive backfield. We had one in the wide receiver core. We chose to go with the defensive backfield because we just really thought that was the biggest need. I could have lived with Judon and a wide receiver. Yes, I could have.
Wow. I strongly disagree.
Hellums is on the return list, right? I would have looked at Richie Grant. You better hold this thing down.
No, Richie has not shown enough to me. Because here's why. This is not an ordinary season we're talking about now. This is – you've got legit expectations to make a playoff run. And I can't start Richie Grant with that on my back when Justin Simmons is out there to be had. Like, what?
Well, like I said,
was the equivalent wide receiver that you were going to go out and get there? Allen Robinson, who's washed? Like, I don't know, man.
I know a couple guys. One named Ayuk is looking for a new home, but you know, you never know.
Well, not anymore.
But yeah, he got paid, didn't he? Where did the 49ers get all this money?
It's like the Saints. They can manipulate that cap every year. I mean, we just did it, too.
Yeah.
We had $3 million in cap space and signed two All-Pro guys.
$3 million guys. All right, keep it going here. So, speaking of these All-Pro guys, so true or false, the Falcons should hold teams to 21 points or less in 2024.
The first three games are going to be a big test for that, huh? Because you're going up against the Eagles, the Chiefs. Mahomes, obviously, and the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers still have a legit chance to do something.
I tell you what, the Steelers, AJ can really prove his worth in game one. Shut down
Pickens.
Pickens, thank you.
Yeah, because they got nobody behind
him. They got nobody else. Shut down Pickens, AJ, you earned that bag.
Yeah. I'm going to say, yeah, they can. Is it likely? Because that's low. I mean, that's low. That's being one of the best defenses in the league, which they can be. I'm going to say true. Why not?
21 points. That's the magic number. If you hold a team, what's that old saying? If I hold you to 21 and under, we should be winning every game?
Yeah.
That's what NFL defenses say. If I hold this team to 20 points, actually, I guess they say about 20, less than 20 points, there's no reason we shouldn't be winning almost every game. All right, last one. This one's actually not even about the players on the field.
Oh, okay.
This is not about the coaches in the booth or on the sidelines. This is about Dirty Bird Nation.
Mm.
True or false? John Fricke's been saying it for weeks. I've been saying it. True or false? Dirty Bird Nation rises up and creates the home field advantage that we need.
I'll tell you what. This first one's damn important towards doing that. Because if after all this offseason, all this hype, bringing in Kirk, Simmons, Judon, Bijan's back. Jesse Bates is back. Chris Lynch. You get everybody going, and then you come out in week one at home and lay an egg. That's going to be a real dagger towards getting that momentum back that you're talking about. This is a big game, man. You have to win this one. And I would argue almost as important as winning it convincingly. Not winning it by a game-winning field goal 26-23. I'm talking about, you know, you win 28-13. If you want to establish that sort of fan base back at the Benz, like right off the gate, come out and stomp on these guys. I'm telling you, it's going to go a long way.
But with that saying that, we need those fans. So I know the production side. So at like 12:48, okay, this is the PA script. I've written it. I've gone through it. Okay. Ryan Cameron will say, are the Falcons fans in the building? We need at 12:48, 12 minutes will kick off. We need that building loud and proud. John Fricke earlier today, he said, yeah, guys, we cannot be strolling in there halfway through the first quarter. We cannot be strolling in there at 1:30. No.
You've got to
be in there at 12:30.
And I don't think they will. If the game starts to turn, though.
Will they hit the X's early?
Not only that. When Kansas City comes to town, there's going to be a lot of red jerseys in the stands.
Yeah.
And not the good kind.
The only difference is, even with the 8:30 kickoff, even the real or even the, you know, the fair weather fans can get in the building by 7:30. What it takes the real Falcons fans to get up, get out there early, and get in line at 11:30. That's when you know you're a Falcons fan, because you're in there when those gates open.
Yeah.
We need it.
You beat Pittsburgh. And then let's say you go out and you stun Philly. When you come back for that home game, you'll be sold out and it'll be all Falcons fans.
There it is. That's what I want to hear.
All right. Great job on the true false. We'll do something again. E mentioned it. We haven't done this in a while. A little stock up, stock down coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as the NFL season gets ready to roll. All right. When we get back, what did Carson Beck and Kirby Smart have to say after the big win? I'll let you hear it next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock. That's when our buddy Garrett Chapman takes over. I'll be chatting with him tomorrow, as a matter of fact. We're going to get into some tech talk because they are 2-0. And who knows, man? I mean, they're looking pretty good. So I'll get Garrett's opinion on that. And we'll chat with him in a little bit when he gets into the Kia studios. Wanted to let you guys hear a bunch of stuff from what happened after the game on Saturday about, what was it, 3:30-ish the game ended, somewhere around that 3:30. And then Kirby Carson Beck took to the podium. Kirby also gave an update today on Mikel Williams and Warren Brinson. Both are not expected to miss a long period of time, so good news there for the Dogs. Let's start with Carson Beck. A couple of things from him. Another new rule that was implemented this offseason was the helmet comm. And what did Carson think about this new way to play college football?
It was definitely different. I liked it a lot personally. there's still some times where, you know, you look over to the sidelines and, you know, we're not going, you know, we're going slow. We're not going fast. You still look at the signal, confirm everything. But I definitely think it picks up the pace of the game and allows us to play faster on offense, play to play.
I definitely think that benefits the Bulldogs, who are going to have their opportunities to run, and then take a deep shot down the field. If their offensive line can hold up, I know they got some injuries there, but I have no doubt in my mind that this could be one of the most explosive offenses in all of college football. And if that's the case, having the helmet comm in there is only going to speed up that process. So we'll be able to see what Mike Bobo and company are able to do as the season progresses. This is something we've been talking about all show long, as we're hearing from Carson Beck and Kirby Smart after their 34-3 victory over the Clemson Tigers. He was talking about that first half where they only scored 6 points, a little sputter and stop and start. I've been calling them jitterbugs all afternoon, nerves, whatever phrase you want to use. Carson Beck said, yeah, we had to overcome some of that.
I think just coming out in the first quarter, maybe there's a little bit of nerves. Maybe guys were just trying to, you know, get warmed into the game. Well, I mean, once we got in that second half, you know, looking at the iPad, seeing what they were doing against us, I mean, it was everything that, you know, we saw on film that we watched from last year. So, you know, we just kind of deciphered which ways that we wanted to attack them and maybe try to be a little bit more aggressive coming out of the half. And
now, I'm not sure what to make of it at this point. I guess I'll wait a couple of more games to not just, you know, be hot take turtle and come out guns a-blazing and say UGA has a slow start problem. But we've definitely seen in the Kirby Smart era over the last few years, there's been a couple of times and a couple of games where you're going, this team should be up by 14 points. Why are they scoring, you know, 10 points through three quarters, and then they turn it on in the fourth quarter, they win by 20, and everything's fine. But this seems to be an unfortunate, maybe a pattern that's formed over the last couple of years that has seemed to be a sticking point for the Dogs in terms of their ability to start fast and come out of the gates blazing. It's not that they can't do it. It's just that, again, there's a handful of games over the last couple of seasons where you're just like, it's left scratching your head. You're like, why are they, you know, only up by a touchdown on Kentucky through three quarters? They should just be better, but we'll see what happens this season. All right, going to get E's take on this. This was Kirby after the game, asked by our buddy Chip Towers of the AJC, point blank, was Trevor Etienne suspended for this game? As we let the computer system buffer and find its way. I always hated when that happens. When I was running the show for Dukes and Bell, you got a perfect game going, and then the damn computer just locks up on you. So I'll set the scene before we find the cut. All right, it looks like we got it ready. Chip basically asked him, because it really wasn't ever addressed by Kirby specifically, and this was his answer.
You know, we don't talk about those things, Chip. It's a good try, though. I'm focused on how our guys played today, and that's the focus and energy I'm putting it towards.
What did you make of that, E? I gave my take. I know Connor gave his. What did you make of the snarky response there from Kirby?
It's one of those things where, look, you know he was. Everybody knows he was. Why do you even got to ask? You know the answer to this question. Why do you have to ask?
As a journalist, you do have to ask.
We understand. You didn't ask me Chip's perspective. We asked me what Kirby's perspective was.
But he knows that, too.
Yeah, no, but that's why he was like, look, you ask him, you know, what's those one of the things? You ask a dumb question, I'm going to give you a dumb answer.
Yeah.
Everybody in this room knows that young man was suspended. But yet you want to ask me anyway.
You're right. No, you're right. You're right. All right.
And that's how he came across.
Next up, was this a shot at Dabo? How about talking about the portal being necessary?
You know, if I want my team to stay my team. I've always said that. If you could give me every kid I sign, they stay at my program for 4 years and they can't leave, I would take that every day of the week. But if we're going to lose kids, we've got to replace them with high-quality kids that are character kids that are looking to have an opportunity to win a championship, that want to go somewhere and play. Because otherwise, you can't survive in the SEC without the depth you need. So it's a forced situation. You have to use it. So we use it selectively because we actually like signing high school players that can develop. And the guys that you see in our program most of the time are that.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time with this one. Usually you could tell if a coach or a player is trying to throw shade. I know Kirby was just asked the question and he gave an answer, but was there a little bit of, hey, Dabo, it's 2024, maybe get with the times here. I don't know. It kind of sounds like it, but I could also believe Kirby just giving a straight answer there. I'm not entirely sure.
No, I don't think he was, to be honest with you, because I think he respects Dabo Swinney too much. I think he just was saying, look, if you want to survive, you got to adjust and, you know, adjust and keep going. This is not the game that it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Wasn't the same. The game was 3 years ago because the NIL was barely in the conversation 3 years ago.
No.
You got to adjust. You have to adjust.
No, you're right. It's just I just wonder at the end of the day, you know, sometimes these coaches, especially when you're riding as high as Kirby's been riding the past couple of years, you know, you can slip one in there during a media session.
I think Kirby's smart enough to know that, guess what? I could fall off this cliff just as easily as Dabo did, so I'm not going to, you know,
throw stones from a glass house.
Exactly. You know, because the trip back down that mountain is tough.
Yeah, it is. what do they say? Be nice to the people you see on the way up because they're going to be the same people
you see
on the way down. Yeah. All right, next up from Kirby, a couple of more here. Chris Thomas with you until 6 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Next up, going to play a little stock up, stock down NFL edition to see what teams are coming in hot to week one. This is something to keep an eye on. Concerns on the offensive line, Kirby addressed them.
Well, we want to play a lot of linemen all the time. I mean, Carson works with those guys all the time. We like to play 8 and 9. I think it's to get through the year, you're going to have to do that. We're thinner than we've ever been. You know, we've played 7, 8 guys. We've always played 3 tackles, and we'll continue to do that if they're playing winning football.
Yeah, as we said, some injury updates looking in the positive nature for UGA, so I wouldn't expect anything long-term here, but it just goes to show you, you know, everything's a case-by-case basis. The lines have been the absolute strength of the Dogs on both sides for the last, you know, 5, 6 years at least. But Kirby said this is the thinnest they've been at O-line at this time of the year in a while. So you're counting on guys that are going to have to step up and, more importantly, stay healthy. And we know that, you know, the prize of the team, Carson Beck, has to stand there in the pocket and deliver the ball. He ran, I thought, effectively. He had a little bit of a late slide mechanic in him that I wish he would get rid of. He likes to get every last inch of that turf before he gets down, and he tends to do so a little awkwardly and clumsily, and you don't want to see him get hurt doing something like that, but making sure he's protected in the pocket is obviously key. Next up, what does Starks remind Kirby Smart of? I think you're going to like this answer.
Yeah, when Chant was a freshman wearing 42, people don't remember it. He would play middle field safety, and he had range that was unheard of. I mean, he could go from sideline to sideline, and he made some diving plays and extended his body. And Malachi is very similar to that in terms of his ability to play man-to-man, his ability to play safety. He could go out and play corner if he had to. He's just a tremendous athlete.
Yeah, and if you missed the play that he made in the game, it is top 10 SportsCenter worthy. It is play of the year, potentially early on candidate. Just an absolutely insane interception. All right, one more before we get out of here for this segment. Nate Frazier, a guy that we talked about with Connor Riley as well, proving his worth at running back when Branson Robinson just couldn't get it going.
I get on him all the time because he's out of control. He is just foot fire, moving, going at the speed of light, doesn't know he might run into a brick wall, cutting back. And he cut back a couple times in practice, and I told him, I said, when you get in a real game, you cut back like that, they're going to light you up. You know, I might actually said some things I can't say in here. But he cut back and went all the way across the field for about 50, and I told him it was okay now. So he could do that.
Yeah, he was really impressive, and we'll see how much of the pecking order now changes potentially with ETN and whenever Roderick Robinson gets back. But if Branson Robinson can't get going, maybe Nate Frazier is a guy that emerges as a potential key chip for Carson Beck in the offense to go upon, and we'll see. Again, next week, guys, is not going to be a test at all. The following week will be interesting at Kentucky because our old friend, Brock Vandegrift, he looked pretty good. So that'll be a test. What are you looking at me for? He had good stats.
Oh, no, no, trust me. I feel you. No, that shake was Brock Vandegrift was one of the best high school quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah.
When he signed. If he didn't get injured, remember, he – I don't know if you remember this, Chris. In his senior year of high school, the kid played without a ACL or something crazy like that.
Oh.
And, yeah, he played his senior year in high school.
I didn't know that.
On one leg, led his team to their second straight state championship, went into UGA already injured. If that never happened, things could have been different for that young man. Yeah, Google, I'll send you email. He played his whole senior year on one leg. The kid's a beast.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah, and now you look 3-4 years down the road, he's getting his chance at Kentucky because a guy named Stetson Bennett kind of came in and just stuck and happened to lead them to back-to-back national championships. So Carson Beck wound up being the next man up for the Dogs instead of Vandegrift, but he had a good debut for Kentucky. We'll see what he can do against the Dogs. And then, guys, you start counting down the days to a little trip to a place known as Tuscaloosa, and you start looking at a team named Alabama, as Carl Dukes likes to say. Jalen Milroe, I mean, listen, Alabama fans right now, I know, are a little, just a little apprehensive, I would say, about the state of their team and, you know, how good can they possibly be. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure, again, when it comes to Alabama. I want to see it with Kalen DeBoer. We want to get a better feel of, you know, the type of program that he's going to run and, you know, what the offense is going to really look like against stiff competition and the defense. So I'm a little excited and a little nervous to see how Alabama progresses over the next 2 or 3 weeks before the matchup versus Georgia. All right, good stuff there from Kirby and Carson and some more UGA talk because we can't get enough of it after they trounced Clemson 34-3 on Saturday. When we get back, a segment I have not done in a very long time. Excited to bring it back for you guys. With the start of the NFL season just days away, let's do a little stock up and stock down. NFL teams, who's going in the right direction and who's going backwards. Final hour of the program coming your way next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.